Shalom lachem, toda shatem itanu kan.
Shalom lachem.
Hello, thank you for being with us here on New Life, the educational series of discussions with Rav Lightman. Hello, Rav Lightman. Hello, Nitzan Mazoz. Hello. And today we want to understand our life better in order to take them into a better place. New life means a better life. And our life, if we observe them in depth, are built from all kinds of interactions between us and all those around us, at home, at work, in the street where we live. And many times you come with a feeling that everything could be much better if the people around me would understand me. As one central problem in life is that others don't understand me. We're going to try to talk about that topic today to see why they don't understand me and with the attempt to get them to understand me others. Nitzan, why don't you start with it? So we've been discussing the emotions, which really engages us, because we're very emotional people. And all the programs we spoke about so far, we talked about the emotion of despair and jealousy and shame and all these emotions I as a person know how to experience inside of me. I have this kind of mechanism within which I experience all these emotions. Now, one of the problems and difficulties which causes the most of the conflicts between people and mostly the lack of communication between people is the fact that others don't understand me, and usually they also claim that I don't understand them. It could be before my children, it could be before those I'm working with, it could be in any place. And the question is asked here, which is very interesting, is if we're such emotional people which experience all these emotions, how can it truly be that our ability to feel is basically summarized in the feeling that's inside of me, but it's very difficult for me, seemingly, to understand others, to understand their hearts, and also the other way around. So the first question is, why is that feeling and that sensation, and is it just imaginary, or is there really something real in this fact that we really can't feel the other? We never could feel the other. There is no such thing. What does it mean that I feel someone? What, I'm putting inside you some sensor of mine, some special feeler, and then I feel what's going on inside of you? No. I am a will to enjoy, a desire to have pleasure, which is a desire to feel pleasure and fun. It doesn't matter what's happening inside of me. My goal is to feel good. That's how my body works. All its systems, it could be psychologically, biologically, and it doesn't matter on what level you're talking about. In feelings and senses and thoughts and everything. Always I check why I feel bad, why I don't feel good, how can I feel better, what to do in order to feel better. That's how my inner program of my body works, and that's the main program, and it works nonstop until it dies. And that's how it is in each and every one. Not just in me. This happens also in the still. Therefore, it searches for the most safe place. It falls, it rolls, it protects itself. It doesn't let just anyone the ability to destroy it. It has forces against it. If there's forces against it, trying to break it or something like that, or breaks it up. Vegetative, it searches where the sun is, where the air is. You see how plants grow, how a tree grows if something's disturbing it. Meaning we are always looking how to benefit ourselves. To the degree of animate, it's clear to us how they're searching where it's warmer, where it's more comfortable, where it's safer. And this is how it is the whole life of the animate. And we are in the degree of the human beings, which is the most egotistical, the most complex in this, where we truly build all kinds of systems. Why are we constantly building all kinds of culture, education, trade, industry, no matter what, only in order to feel good and comfort, pleasure. And pleasure, I understand, that will be good for me. And if it'll be good for me, it also has to be in some way relatively good for others. Then I do it with the intention that I will have, so I create something, I produce something and sell so that it'll be good for them. I think that from them, from that I'll have good and profit. If I could get that profit from them without selling for them or working, then I would do so. So it's clear that all our actions are in order to come to a good state, a state of good. And to each, good is sensed and felt as a different way. And it changes all the time in each and every one. Once I want to sleep, once I want to go for traveling, once I want to work, once I want to do something else. Meaning, good is depicted in all sorts of pictures. Meaning, what is good for a person at that moment? And where does it come from to him? From his inner program, which awakens a person to this or to that or that. We never know what a person will want at the next moment. We are usually very routine kind of people, so we kind of know more or less we know ourselves. But it could be that not. Now, in my relation with still vegetative and animate, it's such that I understand this is nature and I need to relate to it in a certain manner. It's boring. Or if they're animals, so they're like pets, house pets, so maybe we're looking for a certain response, they learn from us and we learn from them and we kind of get along and enjoy that. If with the children, it's also like with animals, we know how to behave with them. But with the people that are not children or animals, but people like us, with them we have a problem. Because each and every one of us, the ego is developed and each wants to enjoy every moment from something else, and each it is concerning how he feels, and no one cares how the other feels. And here I stumble upon a problem. I want to feel so and so, and from some response of the other, and he doesn't respond the way I would like him to, because he has his own ego and his own program, which is now operating according to, he wants to operate in silence and I want music, and we're in one place. What can you do? And so on and so forth. So, meaning they don't understand me, they don't appreciate me, they don't know what my needs are. And in general, can I be considerate of others? We understand that not. I look at the child, he comes, he takes from something from you because it seems good to him. He wants to enjoy it, so he takes. We already do it in a more gentle way, or if they don't see, so it's called stealing, or by doing some kind of politics, so I'll give you this, you'll give me that, it's some kind of trade. Meaning our whole lives spin around, and this is with everything, this is how we developed the trade and industry, this is how we developed relations between us, this is how we go into family engagements. What is relationship of with a couple? She wants to enjoy something, I want to enjoy something. We make an agreement. You enjoy this way, and I enjoy that way. From a lack of choice, each makes a certain concession, and or that we develop such a relationship that each enjoys by enjoying the making pleasure for the other. That happens sometimes and usually for a short time, but we see that it's possible under the condition that we have some kind of closeness to the other, when I feel the other somehow close to me, meaning that he has something from my that's part of me. And then when I pleasure him, I enjoy myself too. And of course with the children it's also even more pleasure than I take for myself is when I'm giving it to my child. But these are all simple things, how we enjoy from each other. But to enjoy at the degree of the thought and understanding in a thought way, in an intellectual, desirable way where there are knowledges, ideals, values, that's where it's the most difficult. Because that's the peak of one of people's development in our world, and therefore here there needs to be a certain very unique approach. And we claim that when we claim that the other doesn't understand me, in my eyes, it's a claim. It's a stupid claim. Because never, no one will be able to understand me. Rather, he will understand me under the condition that it's worthwhile for him. Meaning that his will to receive, his desire to enjoy, will be directed in such a way that it's worthwhile for him to do certain seemingly actions so that he will be together with me. But not that he can understand me, but rather he's still understanding himself nevertheless. But it's, we are in a certain connection, a contact between us for a time, that we're talking kind of on one wave. That we're not one before the other and understand each other, but all of a sudden there's between us some one line, and we are in it, the two of us. That's for an incident, for a short time, could be between a few people, but again, it's because they usually have a common goal or purpose. And let's say we want to destroy someone. So we connect, you have pleasure from you destroying him, I have pleasure from I'm destroying him, and then we operate in a partnership manner, and we understand that we both understand each other really well because there's someone that we wanted to take care of. That's clear, that's very clear. Meaning, but that also doesn't mean that we understand each other. We understand each other because there's a goal outside of us. To understand the other, what does it mean to understand the other? It means to clothe in him, inside his desires, inside his thoughts, aspirations, fears, anxieties, excitements, impressions, everything that's inside of him, his whole inner world, truly to enter into him, to live within him, and from entering into this matrix of the other, from there, if I am also in his place, meaning with his qualities, with what he was born with, then I understand him. So how is that possible? It's impossible. No one can clothe another in such a way. Each person is clothed within himself. And no one can enter inside the other. No one. So, meaning this claim of why they don't understand me is, in my opinion, a stupid claim. But you could probably find ways how we can do this, but not on the regular plane, how we between us clash, connect, want to do something in the plane of our regular life. That's simply not a given, not something we can do. Other than that, we also understand that we forgot about the fact that we want for people to understand us. I see this according to the forms of connection between people. They don't want to connect in a frontal manner with people, through the phone all the time, through text messaging all the time, which is not even in voice, it's not even in video, but kind of like, and such, they have like a certain slang, which is, you know, it's like some shortcuts, and I don't know, it's like a certain new language. I don't know, I'll call it the smiley language. Or, yeah, it's even more extreme. Meaning that I don't want for people to understand me. I don't even understand myself. I'm just playing all the time with and in a certain role towards others. And they accept me like that, according to that role. And they also, in such a way, receive it. I see it like the forms of dancing. Let's dance. They enter into some big hall and there's maybe 200 people dancing. No one's looking at the other. Each is doing some... and he's not even looking at all. Meaning, what kind of connection is this? And how can you understand each other? It's not even without contact, without anything. And the main thing is to just do all kinds of actions or moves that they received as an example to, that they watched them from some movie. Meaning people today are not coming close to the state in which people will understand them. I don't think that it's a problem at all. But there is a certain frustration if someone doesn't understand me. Yeah, that's an interference. Well, maybe women are like that. I don't know. But that also later, we are already in, so armored from all the shell that we build upon ourselves that there is no such thing. I see the behavior of people. I'm not saying there isn't an inner frustration. I'm not saying it doesn't bother or hurt him or that he doesn't have a deeper inner desire, because nevertheless, he remains a human being, and he, even though he has this whole armor around him, but it's not what we see from the outside. And I also don't see that, let's say on the TV when they're talking there, because everything is talk, that people want for them to be understood. Each comes to say what he wants, what he thinks, and to come to some common place. No, I see how the usher is there, or the guy who's interviewing, and there's 3-4 people. He asks 3-4 people. Each says his opinions. He gathers those opinions. Everyone sees the different opinions. He doesn't do a summary. They don't do a summary between them, but rather each... Am I understood or not? What do I care if they understand or not? I said mine, and that's it. Meaning we're in a situation where I also am not so interested or am drawn or attracted or directing myself to a place where I will be understood. It's not some kind of theater of emotions, and I'm not some philosopher that I want people to understand me. I'm not, each and every one is like that. And I'm not with some special opinion that the world needs to accordingly to spin and to invert itself accordingly. I don't think that today the main thing for people is to serve themselves and to continue with life. And really as little as possible to sit on each other's heads. I see it happens also in relationships and between spouses, in everything. It's not the family like we had previously, where they used to sit together, they eat together in the evening, together they care for the children. When there was a connection between the parents and the teachers and something, it's there's no inclination to it. We've kind of despaired, seemingly, from coming to states in which we are understood, that we agree or don't agree. Yeah, I'm in my own, and everyone else is in his own behind the screen, the TV screen or the internet screen. And that's how each lives. But the inner frustration is definitely... you can see it. And if we awaken in a person a deficiency for it, a lack for it, if we awaken what in a person? If we awaken a need for it, a lack for it, for him to be understood, then it needs to be awakened in him from the side of the great reward, the prophet. What... how much you will feel yourself that you all of a sudden open, that the world opens, that you are not in and a protecting mechanism towards the world, that you're going to go outside, you're going to feel the others, and also everyone feels you, and you start to become closer in your hearts, in your thoughts. Hearts meaning in desires. And here you already start to feel an inner expansion, meaning an opening, that you're opening yourself to the whole world. What exactly is expanding? My emotions are expanding, my thoughts, what's expanding? There is a truly deep pleasure, a very great pleasure, that from me feeling that the other all of a sudden is together with me. In reciprocity and mutuality, in a nice attitude between each other. In this we start to perceive that there is outer body life outside the life of my emotions. You call that outer body? Yes. As I come to a state, this is a matter of love. Love is called that I am in my feelings inside the other, and the other is inside of me. It has nothing to do with a connection between sex. It could be between men, between women, other people. It has nothing to do with sex, but it has openness. When there are opinions, desires, goals that are above the ego, above the walls which we are in, and all of a sudden, as we open to each other, then we start to feel in this boundless life. And it's like I'm going out and feeling a livelihood from that is outside of me. And in this, I have a sensation like life after death. I don't know how to say it, how to depict this. And that life is limitless. They're not exactly inside my box. But I can clothe the other and the third one and everyone. It's some psychologists use this a little bit in organizing riots and all kinds of things. There are techniques of how to exploit this. But I'm talking now in a simple manner, that if we can find such moments, incidents, then we can feel ourselves really happy. I want to give a certain example, a personal story that I experienced maybe somewhat with what you're talking about. Maybe we'll be able to understand it more. In the past, I was a principal. And one of the ways I believed in is that it was kind of an open door policy. I remember that one of the workers walked in that worked in the office. And I saw that he kind of like really kind of lowered. He was not in a good mood. I called him into the room. We spoke. And after we spoke, I started to feel him, and I started to give him, in a certain conversation, the ability to express himself. And after a short conversation of 10 minutes, he walked out of the room with a smile. And I remember that the happiness that I felt in my heart all that day was something very powerful that kind of accompanied me. And I remember later I thought to myself, look at what made you happy. That moment in which a person, you managed to touch him somewhat in his heart, and all of a sudden he opened and something got freed up, it made you all of a sudden very, very happy. It was a moment I kind of remembered it. There were many such moments, but that was a specific moment that all of a sudden I was aware of that feeling. Why really? Try to explain to me for a moment. Where does that feeling of happiness, of joy stem from? Where you touch the heart and you, for a moment you understood someone else. He felt it. You felt it, that each received some breakthrough outside of himself. Each exited himself and is already feeling like there's no limits to the world. I'm not closed inside of myself. It's like seemingly I am now blossoming outside of myself. And that sensation is a sensation that you're freeing a person from everything he has inside. Because he seemingly went, he came out. Even if he went out for some little part, it already solves all his concerns and problems. Of course, he can return to what he has, but he feels that there truly is life after death. It's truly like that. That one can exist somehow outside the inner pressures. Meaning the moment I manage to somehow free myself up from my emotional life, from that managing of the emotions and this inner dialogue that's going on inside of me, the moment I manage to break outwards and touch into the feeling of someone else, it frees me up also. It frees me and frees him. And that really gave that feeling of happiness, of joy. So, meaning if I understand this correctly, it's very worthwhile for us to go to the feelings of the other, because we're doing good for the other and also good for ourselves. So why is it so difficult? Why is it so difficult for us? Our ego doesn't let us make any concessions or give up the wall that's protecting us. This shell that we're in, closed within, is very strong. Maybe I have to give up on myself. Maybe I'm lowering myself. Maybe I'm showing the others my weaknesses. Maybe I'm not controlling myself and others in such a way, but rather I am here ready, somehow showing myself as someone that is considerate, that's not above everyone, but rather can be someone who gives up things or steps on myself and so on. So what are we afraid of? We are afraid of self-humiliation. What does that mean? Well, how do I lower myself if I'm considerate with others, if I understand the other, but rather I can do that in order to show everyone, look, I'm considerate with others. I am lowering myself. Look how great I am. That's already something else. That's once again pride. But in concealed way. But if I'm really working in considering the others, means I have to consider myself less. You're raising a certain paradigm, thought perception here, that if I consider the others, it's like I'm harming something in myself, in my ego. I have to give it up. I have to give the other the ability to enter into my heart. And then what will happen? Meaning I'm already not caring for myself at that moment. I'm caring for what's happening to him. Why should I give up on myself? Why should I even care for him? Either I'm working 100% on protecting my ego and filling it in everything, or I'm starting to think, what is he thinking? What does he want? What's good for him? And so on. At that moment, already those thoughts are not on myself, but on someone else. If it's my baby, it's something else. It's in a natural way it happens like that, because he's part of my body. But if it's not my baby, if it's not even my dog, but some foreign person, meaning it's not mine already, then I have to give up something of my own. Now I will care for his comfort, for it to be good for him, so he'll be comfortable for him. So I'm thinking, how can it be good for him? How can it be comfortable for him? From that moment, I'm not already concerned with myself. I can't be concerned for both of us. So, I mean, for two of us, it's already something else. It's two lovers. That's already something else. Then I'm rewarded here. Then I'm a prophet. But the other is truly the other. Unless I have some special purpose, special goal, that I'm going to the feeling of the other, under the condition that by doing so, I am raising us, ourselves, and the connection between us to an even higher place. Then, yes, undo it. To what place? Like that, to some prophet of some sort. Even before that ascent. Or let's say we and you are brothers, and we have a mother, and the mother is very happy if we are in a connection between us, a hearty connection, with a limitless hearty connection like two brothers. And we want to truly bring our mother a good feeling, not to be false on it or anything like that. So if she is very valuable and we care for her, then each of us gives up himself a little bit in order to connect truly between us and care for each other like our mother would want. So she will be happy. Yes. Meaning it has to be someone higher or some higher idea that in order to bring it contentment, we will be willing to give up on our ego. Even before this common ascent to a goal that is above me and you, I want to understand. You said that we're closed within a shell. What does it mean that we're closed inside a shell? The shell is our ego, which closes us, so I won't be able to think about anything of the other, and therefore I'm closed within myself. Where am I closed? Then I live within myself. I'm closed with inside my thoughts, my compassions, my desires, my aspirations, which cares only for myself. What is closing me? What's closing me? Yes? The ego, which is controlling all my thoughts, desires, aspirations, goals, everything. The goal says like this: you are working only for the sake of yourself alone. That's the summary of our general program. How I look, see, feel, breathe, no matter what. I do everything in the optimal manner for the sake of my benefit. And if there is some disturbance from the other, I immediately do a calculation. Can I get rid of that thought or not? Either I leave them, but whatever I can do in order to reach that optimal state. Optimal meaning that every single moment in life needs to be in the best possible state. And that's how it is with each and every person. Every person, every moment. Every person, every moment. Therefore, I understood. That's why you're depicting that each is kind of wrapped inside his inner shell that closes himself within himself. So let's say the three of us, I am wrapped within this inner program of mine, you're in yours, and Nitza's in hers. So we have like three people here that there could have seemingly be a connection between us, contact between us, but it's being done out of this internal inside his balloon, basically. But here we're talking. Yeah, it's each is kind of in this talking, and it's for the sake of getting some kind of pleasure benefit. It's something that's good for him. So without the, how is there any communication with the balloons? The only communication for the sake of the benefit of himself. And therefore, a person feels that no one understands him. So, yes, that's why I also told Nitsa that I don't grasp so much what the claim is. So they don't understand. But I want them to understand. Why? I want them to understand me, to consider me, to like me. Yes, and you? Are you also willing to do so? In such a communication, a mutual communication? Two-directional? To understand you, to be considered you, to feel you? Yes. If it's possible, what is it if it's possible? It depends on, that's exactly the whole dependent thing. Many times there's people that are like more sensitive and less sensitive. There are people that do feel like they're feeling the other, but they're not felt. The fact that I feel others more or less, that is in accordance with my ego, as much as it's worthwhile for me to feel them more or less. But nevertheless, it works only in one way, only for the benefit of myself. I didn't understand. Whoever feels more. Let's say you're a dangerous person. Every moment you can pull out a gun and start shooting. So I want to know you better, how to protect myself, how to distance or come close, maybe. So I operate my desires and all my inclinations in such a way so that I can be with you sensitive. I want to feel you in order to protect yourself from me. Yes, of course. So all of a sudden I become more sensitive to me. Whereas if I enter in some place, there's some group of children, they're sitting, they're playing, some kind of kindergarten or something like that, then I don't operate my emotions. Someone, it's desire, desire. They're running. They're doing this. They're crying. They're laughing. They're screaming. Whatever. Okay, let's try to operate on this. Let's say you felt me because you're afraid of me because I'm a threat towards you. So does that mean that I'm a sensitive person? I'm sensitive to feel the danger. Who did you feel? Me or you? I want to feel you. What's going on in your head? Because I'm afraid of you. But it doesn't mean that I exited myself from your bubble. Yeah? Why? Because I am concerned with myself. Could it be that it reminds me that in psychology they call this armor like protective mechanisms? So it's like how you protect yourself from him. It could be that specifically as much as we operate those mechanisms, you have like a thicker armor. Yes, the armor can be more inwards or more external. What do you mean? Did you see a tank? Yes, I was on a tank. Yes. So you were in a tank in those days where there was only armor on the tank. You know, there's armor on the tank today, but rather, I don't know how you call it. It's active protection. When a missile comes, it goes into the tank, and this active protection explodes and blows it out. Yes, there's all kinds of systems like that. No, this is in addition to the armor on the tank. You've seen such. Yes. So what is that? Not protection? It is, but it's active protection. Same thing here. I don't operate by building an armor towards the dangerous person. I build an active protection. It's as if I'm going out to him. I'm neutralizing him in advance. I want to get to know him in advance. I send my hidden agents towards him. I learn him and so on. This is active protection. A country against a country or some company or organization against those who are in competition with them. If I understand this, what you're drawing here for us, the whole calculation of one individual towards the other is how I protect my state. So even if I feel you and learn you and investigate you and try to enter into you, it's still being done from the place, from the motivation that's driving me in this whole process of feeling you is how I protect my optimal state. And this in your eyes is called that even though I've kind of buried myself in you, I still haven't entered your, I haven't exited my bubble. Absolutely, yes. Okay, so now, so far we understood, and that's the reality within which we live. Meaning, even when I feel someone, I understand you, feel you, and her, I don't feel or understand, it's still all kinds of things that are operating within my bubble, yes? And this bubble, I wrote to myself, what does describe this bubble, because I don't see a bubble, but rather I have a program that says, for the sake of myself alone, each within his bubble. For the time being, you are not rising above your desires, ambitions, and aspirations, and all that you have of your own. You're protecting them, and you want to remain in them, and want to be more secure that you're filling yourself in an optimal way. Okay. This is the status we're existing in, and we have all kinds of forms of communication with us. Yeah, so there's this kind of protection and that kind of protection. Sometimes we pounce each other, we do wars, but Even that is connection, but it's a seemingly a negative connection. I understood. Now let's move forward. Let's continue with this picture of the balloons, because I understand that there's a certain balloon around me, a balloon around her, a balloon around you. Each lives inside his balloon. Now, let's do like a science fiction here. What is between the balloons? Disconnection. Oh, disconnection. Now, describe the disconnection that each wants to feel the other in as much it could be as it could be good for oneself or bad for oneself. To who? To me, let's say. I feel you only in a way that it can be good for me or bad for me. Because my main sense, my main feeling, is a desire to enjoy. And therefore, I don't see you as you are. And if you exist at all, I don't know. And also, this lady here, probably. But she seems like that in me, and you appear like this in me, from within my desire to enjoy. And then I see in my desire to enjoy, how do I enjoy this and don't enjoy this way or that. I could say, I don't love his form and his way he talks and so on and so forth. Later I can change my opinion and say, no, he's a nice person, he's pretty good person and so on. What changes? You didn't change, but rather I, from within me, have changed something in my program, in my reception, and then you appear completely different to me. Meaning I don't perceive who you are, but rather I receive who you seemingly influence my desire to enjoy. What influences come from our balloon to your balloon? What you can draw from it? Yes, what I can enjoy from this, what I can profit from this, and so on. Only that I see. I don't see you as real. Also, no one knows himself, too. Nevertheless, the others. Moreover, the others. Let's say you're going in the morning to work, everyone comes with their bubble. I come today with this bubble that I don't know, I'm bringing some certain thoughts, maybe of anger, and he comes in with sadness, and the other one comes in with happiness, and the third one comes in with, I don't know, depression. What happens with our bubbles? But there's this disconnect, but nevertheless, there's a certain feeling, like sometimes I feel like it's penetrating into my bubble, nevertheless. I don't know what he's going through, but I do feel some not pleasant wind from his direction that enters my balloon. What is that? That's unpleasant influence. You want to enjoy from him in some way, either that he should be quiet or subjugate himself and be organized and do something that you want, and you're not receiving that from him. So you feel it as a negative wind. It doesn't have to be in action or in speaking. It can be that you smell him even. Yes, without speaking even. Yes, because we are like that. Also, house pets feel the mood of their owner when he's not doing or anything. Let's say he came home, he sat down on the couch, and he's sitting down. So how do they feel? How? They, of course they feel it. No, how? What's the mechanism? Because they're animals too, just like us. And they feel because he's important to them. But we said, first of all, that we're all closed inside of our balloon. The animals, the house pets are different than us. They don't have the ego like we do. And they're dependent on us. And therefore, they're sensitive to what's going on with us. The dog comes, he puts his head on my knees and looks at me like this. Like, what's going on with you? Really? Yes. And what is he feeling? A dog? He feels that something's not okay with his owner. That they can feel it. Even by the smell, our smell changes from fear to happiness to sadness to... Yes, yes. And they understand us, and they feel it very well. Now, if I will come, not a dog, and I'll try to feel that same person, then you need to take on senses like that dog, to feel from the smell that maybe he's afraid, maybe he's happy, maybe he's something else. Each thing has its expression, but I don't have such sensors. You don't. Do you want to feel, you don't have a desire for that either. Do you want to feel the other like that? Like a dog feels his owner? Do you want to subjugate yourself like a dog towards his owner? That you're so dependent on the other? And you're truly devoted to him? A dog is very devoted to his owner. He's a degree of an animal. He doesn't have an ego. I'm not going to answer. Should I answer real? Really? Of course I wouldn't want, but I'd be happy for there to be people around me that would want to feel me in such a way. Well, in short, we're at least coming to one clear result. What? Each is living within himself. He doesn't understand himself either. Well, explain this, because it's written here for me. What does it mean that I don't understand myself too? So far we talked about the fact that I don't understand you. What does it mean that I don't understand myself either? Go to a psychologist, start talking to him. You'll see how much you don't know yourself. Why should I spin you in such a way? Enter into him and you'll see within an hour how you walk out of him confused from here until the from the head to the feet. Why don't I know myself? You don't know because you don't know who you are. You don't know who you are. You don't know who you are. And even if others are telling you about who you are, you don't agree. Unless it is worthwhile for you. If it's not worthwhile for someone, one does one blame himself for something? For numerous individual moments, maybe if it's he can do it, but otherwise, does he blame himself? No. Does he see any flaws in himself? In how bad he is? No. When others come and tell me about that, do I agree with that? Even if I know about that, I don't want to agree with them. But other than that, if I don't, that I don't see, that protective mechanism of the ego does not let me see flaws in myself. Is that the same balloon that you talked about before? Yes, also towards myself. So this is a very complex balloon. Also towards the externality and also towards internality. I am simply blocked, stupid, lacking true emotions, true feelings, true thoughts, true intellect. I'm simply living like some little cockroach that is concerned about with only how to feel myself good every moment of my existence. And that's it. In my life. Let them kind of cascade in such a way that I won't feel bad. And as much as possible, I'll feel good. So what do we do? That's it. And other than that, I don't know and I don't feel, not from my inner reality or the external reality. It doesn't matter to me because I am completely directed only into feeling good. And in order to feel good, I do actions. It's like you in this model of the balloon. It's like I'm hearing that you're hinting that if I were able to break out of this balloon, I would come to some new factor of development, something out of the, forget about it. He would feel within our balloon or inside of your balloons, between the balloons. Where is it? First of all, if he were to exit his balloon, already all the balloons would not exist. What balloons? Of the others. Why? Because you would receive such forces to exit your balloon and to rise above your ego. For all the rest of the human beings, you would see in a true manner. Wait, let's define. What is it to exit the balloon? Essentially, what is it? What is it to exit the balloon? Technically, essentially, what is it to exit the balloon? It's really to rise above yourself. I don't understand that yet. What does it mean in the relations between us? You said all the time that even if I understand you, it's only from that place that everything is done from within this balloon. I'm only examining what's good for me, what's not good for me, and I don't understand anything along the way. I can't grasp anything, nothing. Now you're saying, okay, exit outside the balloon. You have limitless life, new planes, new dimensions. What does it mean to exit outside my balloon in the plane of relations between us, in this everything that's outside me? What is it to go out of this balloon? It's to destroy that component within the program, which is mainly where all the inclinations, all the qualities, all the intentions, thoughts, desires that were all directed for the sake of yourself, so they won't be aimed for the sake of yourself. Why? To stop caring for yourself. So who should I care for? That's already another question. For who? But if you destroy that component in the program, sight, hearing, smell, taste, and tactile, all the desires, all the thoughts, everything that's in me, everything is in self-service. Now, I need everything that there is, only to invert it to who? Other than myself. To the others. And who? And there is nothing other than myself. So outside of me, it's called the others. And who will care for me, let's say, if I do such a thing? If there won't be such a component in me of not caring myself, I will die. No. Then we will do an agreement. What agreement? That as much as you need for your regular life, like an animal, there is still vegetative, animate, and human. You are included by still vegetative, animate, and human. So, what you need for still vegetative and animate, yes, like a pet, like an animal, like anything, take whatever you need for your bodily sustenance, you're going to receive, and it's not called that you receive, because you're living. You have to sleep, to eat, to continue your regular life. Meaning, don't worry about that. That you will have. If I am managing to translate this properly, you're saying that in your life you can divide it into two layers. There's a layer that I can take care of my existence, my family, make sure that everything's okay so we'll live good. Yes, and there's an additional layer which is kind of over, beyond. Let's say, okay, after you're living and the children are living and everything's okay, other than that, where is your concern put? Where is your head in that program of only what's for the benefit of myself only, and what I don't see anything else in my eyes, or that I let go of this balloon and I go to receive something else to others other than myself? Yes, did I understand this depiction correctly? Yes. And then you remain in being concerned only for your bodily life. Yes, to make sure that everything exists and everything's good. Just like in our life, we're coming closer to a state in which probably each will get what he needs for his bodily existence. That's it, go forward. What about you? We just talked about myself, so I'm the same thing. So now you'll be caring for me, for everyone, you too. Let's say it's the three of us, me, you, and Nitza. We are kind of like each worked out, he has what he needs for his existence, and now beyond, he's fine and everything's existing. Now his hearts and concerns and his thoughts, let's say in relation to you, it's what? Let's say if I stopped being concerned with myself, I started addressing the desires of the others, and you're starting to be concerned, the two of us, and she's the two of us. Yes, so it'll be good for us too. Yes, yes. What's the wrong? Wait, let's go back to the model of the balloons. What happened here as far as the balloons? We were three balloons before, each goes inside his balloon. What happened now in this interaction? We exited outside of our balloons. Where are we now? Outside of the balloon. Where? Each within the other. I'm caring for you and her, and you're concerned for me and her, and she's concerned for both of us. So we entered into some common balloon, or there is no balloon at all. It could be. But he's asking, at least, what's with me? And I said, each exits his balloon. And how many balloons did we enter? In our situation, we entered into... So now there's one balloon, and we're all in that one balloon? Is it something like that? Our balloon remains, because it's egotistical. Yes. And we have, all of us, exited, and now we exist outside of the balloon, in all the desires, aspirations, thoughts. everything outside of the balloon. For the sake of what? What do I need? You are receiving what you need for your sustenance. He receives what he needs for his sustenance, and I receive what I need for my sustenance. What remains for us after that? Now we get rid of all the redundancies, all the excess that we were just using in order to fill our egos. And now each above his ego doesn't want to serve it. And then we are free from within the ego. Now, for what, or for the sake of what, are we going to spend our forces? Other than the degree of animate that's in us, animal that's inside of us, other than our bodily existence. So already now we start to feel that by us each exiting himself and wanting to enter others, he starts to feel that in this he is acquiring a whole new world. Meaning also the world and also the fulfillings. The fillings anew that are new. That this opens before him truly some endless distance in all directions. And he can realize himself in a different way, not in concern for himself. He starts to get to know at last who he truly is. With that, he starts to get to know everyone, the others, because he's already not in being coerced constantly, everything to interpret everything towards his ego and to measure and check and thus to catalog. But rather now, he is now checking himself towards all of the others. And it doesn't matter who the others are and what the others are, as long as it helps him exit himself. And as he exits, there he feels outer body reality that he has. Body is already called ego, not the beastly physical body, but that is the ego. And this outer body existence, he starts to see the world, the existence, reality, which is unlimited in the existence of his body. It's like he sees all of a sudden that there is some kind of existence in this state, that maybe my body exists, maybe it doesn't, and I do exist in that place where I now am outside of myself. I have come to the upper world, seemingly, which is above my ego, therefore it's called upper. And in this world, in this state, I can exist above time, place, space, all the things that I was limited of before, because I used to constantly count and see where I am here and there. Now I don't have those limits and those limitations, and so now I'm free. And for the dead, he is free. What is the dead? My attitude towards my ego. And now a new world opens. And I start to understand in this myself and the others. And I don't have a question whether I'm understood or not, because I am in each and every one. They feel me and I feel them, just as we simply are all together. At least between us, like that. It's very interesting what you just said now, that the question of why I'm not understood, we always think that it's towards the outside, but actually it's towards inside also. Also, I don't understand myself. And this exit from myself opens all the doors, because all of a sudden you feel the other feels me, I feel me. Everything all of a sudden becomes different. When you describe that feeling, I felt like I'm constantly sitting there with a certain calculator there, and I'm trying to calculate, what do I need? It's like if I threw this calculator and all of a sudden a different world opens up. There, do I have some concern? that place where I'm concerned with the others, is it a place that is difficult? Is it a burden, or does it even come easily? It does not come easily because I need to break through this balloon to exit outside of it. It's not easily, but there are methods. There is a method that helps us to do this action, which enables the exit. Meaning the difficulty is that place where you're exiting from my inner world and my thoughts and my desires. That's the solution in order for people to understand me in Shur. That's the solution. Our time is over. Thank you, Rav Leitman. Thank you, Nitza. And thank you, too, for being with us. We're exiting outside of our balloon. We're meeting in the middle. New life. All the best.